It's the ABCs, High School Teachers Really Need to Know, Season 4, Episode Number 9, Inequity is Inevitable. Remember to like, comment, and subscribe, or buy the books on Amazon.com. Hello, hello. I don't know if you're where I'm kind of am with this, but I am just been absolutely addicted to being outdoors. It has been beautiful in our neck of the woods. We are getting just a healthy dose and have for several weeks of just beautiful springish weather. And look, the rain is welcome after a year in 2023 where we saw a lot of drought. And it's just been so refreshing to get a little bit of rain, but also have these beautiful sunny days that we've been having down here in Mississippi over the last really several weeks. And I don't mean to ramble about the weather. I'm just be honest with you, and anybody who knows me personally will tell you, I'm absolutely terrible at small talk. And so a lot of times I'll default to the weather. I know that sounds so cliche, but truthfully, I'm not obviously just rambling for the sake of rambling, and I'm using it to just kind of share with you a little bit about just how wonderful the spring is right now, and how we should always balance the sort of hecticness of education with whatever that zen place is for you. And for me right now, it's being outdoors as much as I possibly can. And just get to soak in this weather. And so whatever is yours in place, hopefully you're finding that. And whenever the challenges seem overwhelming, or sometimes you just feel like you need to unplug, hopefully you find that place as often as you can. A lot of times it's spending time with my family. And of course, we are just now moving past the Easter holiday, which was absolutely fantastic. And that's another place that I sort of just absolutely find energy and just the ability to sort of remind myself how good life is. And in addition to all the amazing meaning and just reminder why Easter is important, on top of that, just that family component and how special it truly is that we get to share our lives, not only with our family, but the other people in our lives, right? So it's definitely not an opportunity just to small talk about the weather. It just really is a zen place for me, and I hope that you have that. So, kind of switching gears into this week's episode as we, look at something that I think is really, really important. And it's going to almost sound like a political topic, and it's in this podcast, I always focus on, and I say it a lot, but controlling what we can control, right? And so this is going to sound like a political topic, but it's not. It's about making sure that we are controlling the things that we can sort of impact and control, and make sure that our focus as effective teachers is really on what it should be on. And so we're going to talk about that this week in this episode, which is entitled, as I said at the top, Inequity is Inevitable. It's just absolutely going to happen. So bear with me here as I talk a little bit about this in this week's episode. interesting. We know that equity in education is an absolute, focus point. It's so focused on that it's almost a talking point as you listen to a lot of the educational leaders and politicians talk about education. We talk about equity, and we need to clarify that when we're talking about equity in education, we're really talking about equity in sort of opportunities, right? Opportunities to succeed. Well, I'm going to sort of frame this discussion a little bit differently today for you, because I think it helps us in the classroom, and I think it helps us meet the needs of our kids and generate better outcomes, both educational and otherwise. And so it's important as an effective teacher to sort of frame this, and I want to do that. So a lot of times when you talk about equity in education, they're talking about access and essentially opportunity, right? And I think that's really yes, you want that, right? You want every student to have sort of that equitable opportunity to succeed. But the bottom line is, inequity is inevitable. And we can't live in a world where we think that's not going to happen. And I think a lot of folks do, and that comes at the cost of achievement and generating solid outcomes for all students. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that today and why that matters and how we can make sure we stay on course and stay focused in what we should be working towards in our roles as educators. Now, I don't want you to think for one second that striving for equal opportunity is not a admirable goal, a needed goal, because it absolutely is. What I'm really wanting you to think about is understanding that no matter what we do or the policies that we make or the process that we facilitate, students are not going to have the same backgrounds. It's not going to happen. They're different socioeconomically, and even if they were the same socioeconomically, they're still individuals. You know, there's going to be different levels of access and different situations at home, and the list goes on and on and on. So while we sort of strive for equity, you know, you don't want to design an assignment or some unit that's going to give a significant advantage to students who have computers over those that don't at home, or have a printer or don't, or you don't want to assign projects that require hundreds of dollars, you know, and give no workaround or no gap, you know, or bridge over the gap for students who sort of can't do those things, right? So we know we have to strive for opportunities that are equitable. But again, we have to make sure that this equity expectation doesn't destroy achievement. So you strive for equal opportunity as best you can, knowing that it's inevitable that there will be inequity. But instead, you design your process to allow students, regardless of the spectrum that they're on, to succeed. Meaning deciding, you know, how to reach students individually. And you know, when I said spectrum, when I say on the spectrum, I mean on the spectrum of ability. And that doesn't mean ability in general. It means where they are in their own academic journey. You know, our focus needs to be around lesson designs and unit designs that are going to allow students to succeed regardless of where they are on that spectrum. But that by no means that everyone's going to get to the same place. And that's sort of the take-home message in this episode right off the top, is understanding that if we expect students to achieve an equitable outcome, we are going to fail them. And it doesn't reflect real learning. And what I see is that society and a lot of the politicians, and that's why I said we're skirting around some of the political implications here. I'm just telling you that society and politicians and the policy being created sort of says, you know, or and even if it doesn't say it, it sort of guides us this way to thinking that students are all going to be this homogenous sort of factory produced product. And that's just not true. It's not true. And it's also bad for all students because it doesn't allow diversity in learning. So when we take equity for opportunity and then go, okay, we need to take this further, and that means all kids should, you know, achieve because they are equitable, you know, meaning that students are supposedly the same, and if put in the same situation, they're given the same opportunity to learn, that they're somehow all going to master this content, or all at the same level or same pace, or that they're all going to get to this same magical place in the learning, to expect that or to write policy that way, I think we get into trouble because it forgets the individuality. You know, we always talk about, you know, individualizing a standardized process. Well, you're sort of overlooking that. The fact that you have individuals in the classroom and then we're trying to strive for some equity in the outcome. And of course, you look at this policy and you listen to these politicians talk or these policymakers or Department of Ed or all these different educational agencies, they're always talking about equitable opportunity, and that's a given, right? We want that to happen, knowing that it won't, but we do want equity and opportunity. But what they are actually striving for is to be able to measure students and see that they're all getting to the same place, no matter what they tell you. That's what they're looking for. And I'm here to tell you that that's not possible. And you know that already. You don't need me to tell you that. But what I am telling you is when folks sort of look at our classrooms and analyze our classrooms, and worse, when we sometimes look at our classrooms, we're looking and holding ourselves to this impossible standard, that standard of perfection, which I tell you is ridiculous time and time again, that every student's going to master this content at the same level, and that all 25 or all 15 or whatever your class size is going to look the same. And I'm telling you that that is not feasible. It is not possible. It is not realistic. Inequity is inevitable. And we have to quit designing lessons that are going to, in theory, produce this sort of homogenized student with the same skills and the same achievements. And in fact, when we design lessons that way, and when if you're an administrator, when we have expectations sort of come across that way to educators, if we fail to communicate to parents and other stakeholders that, we know that kids will be differentiated, then we're setting ourselves up for trouble. We're setting ourselves up for failure, and we're not meeting the needs of the individual students in our classrooms. We need to focus on mastery. You know, we talk about differentiating instruction. I sort of add to that, all the time and say that's really only half the equation, because in addition to differentiating instruction based on differentiated learning, you also have to differentiate assessment. And I've talked about that and why that's important. And I say a lot of times that we miss the mark because we differentiate instruction best we can, but we forget to differentiate how we assess to get a lot of different types of learners. But there's actually a third thing here that we have to think about. We need to differentiate outcomes. We have to. And think about what I just said. When I say differentiate outcomes, if you have a class and everybody in that class is scoring the exact same and they're having the exact same sort of product coming out of it, that's telling me that you're not meeting all the needs of the students across the spectrum in your classroom. I'm just being honest with you, because if you have designed a class effectively, whether a child is on the lower end of the achievement spectrum or the higher end of that spectrum, there should be success and struggle. And you're not going to have sort of the same experience, the same outcomes. Yes, you want success out of 100% of your students, but if you truly believe, and we say it all the time, that success looks differently, then you should know that you're going to have to differentiate kids. And what a disservice you're doing to both folks. You know, if someone makes 100 and tries 110%, and another person tries 80% and still makes 100, that tells you a lot about the assignment or the class, right? It is about mastery, but you want the struggle. You want the academic adversity, which leads to learning. It's the mistakes, it's the trials, it's all of those different things that lead to learning. You need to differentiate outcomes. You know, we talk about mastery and having, having sort of that filter on your lessons and your class, and that mastery will be achieved based on meeting sort of these foundational essential questions, sort of the main essential questions. What are the two or three things that you want students to master in a given unit? Once they master that, then you have all these other opportunities to master sort of different skills above that, and that's how you're differentiating kids. And if you're not doing that, if you can't look at your A-level work and your B-level work and your C-level work and be able to clearly state, why this is A-level work and B-level work, or more importantly, kids can't sort of look across the room and go, that's an A-level work and that's C-level work and I'm right here in the middle at B, or I didn't do enough to succeed, so I didn't pass the assignment. If you don't set that sort of framework up, then you're going to be on the struggle bus, just being honest with you. Or in the very least, not going to be effective. So the point here again, and I'm going to restate this because it is sort of that main take home, absolutely strive for equal access opportunities, okay? Knowing that inequity is inevitable. But do not strive for equity of outcomes. And sadly, so much of society is wanting that. Do not feed into that system. Control what you can control. Facilitate your process and make sure that you're differentiating kids. That's so much easier, by the way, when you coach and take it from someone who's coached athletics, and all of us have coached in the classroom. I still coach martial arts and music and all these different things. You have to develop players, students, musicians, whatever you're coaching, right? You have to coach inside the classroom, and we've talked about that. What are you going to coach if you're not differentiating folks? If you're not setting goals for them, and you're not setting up expectations for them and giving them models of what, you know, top-level work looks like and top-level skills look like and what below average and, you know, work and assignment, what that looks like. There has to be inequity of outcomes. We do. Not everybody is going to be an anesthesiologist. Not everyone is going to be a physicist. Not everyone is going to be a ballet dancer. We have to set up a process that is okay to differentiate kids. And when coaching, we have to be able to have these models, these levels of achievement. So, and then clearly lay out that information to all the various stakeholders. You know, when I'm coaching a student, I need to be able to say, you know, this is what my expectations are, and this is, you know, the best way to set yourself up to sort of get to that next level. And the same message to parents. We have to clearly communicate to parents that success looks different, and that no matter where kids are on that ability spectrum, or where they are sort of on the achievement at that, you know, specific point in time, they can taste success. Let's get a little bit better at this and we'll see a little more result. You know, we have to coach them through those things. Everyone will not get to the same place. So again, design lessons and units that reflect that. You know, if you teach English, you know, you want everybody mastering the base level skill, the foundational essential questions, right? But also give a spectrum of different sentences, some of which are more challenging than others. And those sentences maybe don't count as much, or they don't, you know, they get more practice. So students can sort of master those tougher level skills if they're going to master. You know, that's sort of the above the benchmark stuff. So you differentiate. And at the same time, you throw in some that are not as complex, maybe a little bit easier for students who need a little more practice to master. In math, same thing. Assign a few homework problems that show mastery of the basic skill. You don't need 30 problems. Assign 5 or 6 homework problems. And then above that, assign 2 or 3 that are really challenging. Assign a couple that are not as challenging and do a little bit more scaffolding. In history, how about reading lower level reading, higher level reading? You know, have that spectrum that we've talked about in episodes on reading, where we set up different levels of reading and different levels of challenge so we can scaffold, so you can differentiate your kids. In science, same thing. Challenge them at different levels. How does a cell operate? You know, ask challenging questions at the top and then fundamental questions that show scaffolding and just skill building and basic anatomy of the cell. You know, and I can go on and on and on, and you can apply this to your own you know, subject area and your own classroom, but there's just not enough effective differentiation of learning in most classrooms. And again, that doesn't reflect real life. It doesn't reflect mastery. And it makes it really, really hard to coach. And so, again, make sure you do everything you can to set up a situation where you're allowing equitable access to all of your learners, understanding that inevitably, no matter what you do, that will never be achieved, but that's real life, right? We all have things we sort of have to work around and overcome. You know, and certainly we can utilize the resources around us if students, you know, are way behind whatever threshold is relevant to you in your particular classroom situation or school that you're in. Use the resources to bridge those gaps, you know, from the perspective of your role. But after that, do not expect equity of outcome. Not only is that super impossible, but it's also not useful. Also doesn't reflect the real world. Not everybody's going to become a doctor. Not everybody's going to become a fireman or an NFL athlete. And also, that makes it super hard for a kid to relate to the material, right? If they're constantly above the mark or below the mark of the essential questions, and so they're above and behind, below, you know, they get defeated. And so I just want you to think about that and in the practical side of lesson planning. And when I say lesson planning, I don't just literally mean the writing out of lessons, though that too. I'm talking about in your unit design, in your process. Do not expect equity. And all these talking heads who go on and on and on about equity, make sure you understand that what they're really striving for is homogeneous populations that are all sort of utilitarian in nature. Like, we know what this group can do, we can easily measure them. That's that factory model. And aren't we supposed to be getting past that? Aren't we supposed to be moving on from that so we can better reach kids? Well, kids are not the same. They don't have the same abilities. They don't have the same interest, the same backgrounds. And so the obsession with equity is just that. It's an absolute obsession. Well, that is it for this week. Hope you had a just an amazing Easter. I look forward to being with you next week. Remember to like, comment, and subscribe, or buy the books on Amazon.com. Y'all have a great day. Good week.